Father, we believe you're here, and we'd like to ask that as you are here, that you would have power on our hearts. Lord, please use me. I am a feeble man. And I ask that you please would use this feeble instrument as your mouthpiece to communicate your message clearly and powerfully, and that we would have soft hearts to receive it. We love you. We thank you for reaching out to us in your mercy and desiring to do good for us in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the title of the message this evening is Autoimmune Diseases and the Last Day Church. Well, today I'd like to talk about autoimmune diseases because they are an out-of-control epidemic. Have you noticed? Have you noticed the food sensitivities, especially in the children? Have you noticed all the different people who, even healthy people, who have otherwise had great health coming down with all types of autoimmune diseases? It is wreaking havoc in our Western world. And it's very interesting what is happening in the bodies of people with autoimmune diseases mirrors something that's happening spiritually in God's last day church. We'll get into that. But I'd like to share a testimony of my experience with autoimmune diseases and how it has affected my family. Well, in 1998, my mother started showing signs of liver disease. She tried to fight it using many natural methods, but you know, she just didn't know enough about her condition to really be able to treat it effectively at that time. And she was eventually diagnosed with autoimmune liver cirrhosis. Her symptoms gradually got worse and worse until one Sabbath morning she woke me up because she had been vomiting and defecating blood. She was rushed to the ER that morning and she almost died. As a matter of fact, the doctor himself told our family that if they hadn't stopped the bleeding, she probably would have died within minutes. She was virtually saved by a miracle, I believe. The next 9 months, my mom would come close to death about three different times. And praise the Lord, however, in the year 2000, she received a liver transplant. And just before that, she would almost die just before that, but it saved her life. And I praise God for that. Well, not knowing the real truth about her condition, we thought she was totally out of the woods. Little did we know that new liver would last her 12 years. And late in 2012, that same disease, autoimmune liver cirrhosis, came back again. However, it came back much more aggressive the second time. And during that next 7 months, she would be in and out of the hospital several times for bleeding issues. However, we had just met a doctor. This is so fascinating, the timing. We had just met a doctor friend of ours who opened up her own lifestyle program, and she specialized in treating, guess what types of diseases? Autoimmune diseases. Incredible. I'll tell you more about her later. But as we met with her and counseled with her, she gave us a specialized program to treat my mother. Now, my mother was in critical condition. She was released from the hospital the last time, and the doctor told us she does not have 1 week to live. She has days. I'm not telling you weeks, days. Be happy that your mom could go home and die at home with her family. And she was in critical, critical condition. But nonetheless, we administered this customized lifestyle program given to us by this doctor friend of ours. And friends, we almost saved her. On April 23rd, 2013, my dear mother lost the battle with liver disease and passed away. But we almost saved her with the program. And as a matter of fact, I actually think we would have saved her. It was actually working. The day she passed away, she was actually being taken off of hospice because they saw that she was healing, not dying. But, you know, she was in such critical condition. I won't really get into it, but let's just say in her critical condition, we really couldn't afford any mistakes to be made on the program. I'll just leave it at that. Now, this is where I come in. 6 months after my mom died, I found out that I had the same autoimmune condition that killed my mother. I started to show signs of liver issues as early as 2010, as a matter of fact. You know, at 30, you really shouldn't have liver enzymes fluctuating like mine were. And I had several other things, some things that were indicating I had jaundice. And anyhow, I had several things showing that my liver was starting to have issues. But back to that doctor friend that opened up that lifestyle center. Thankfully, we had met her in 2012, just as this whole thing was starting to kick off, and it really was a divine appointment. The timing was amazing. And 6 months after my mom passed away, she said, you know, you really ought to get tested to see if you have anything what your mother has, because these things can be inherited, they can be genetic. And so I was tested. I did a certain test that found that I was having an autoimmune response to 15 different types of foods. My body was just attacking all these different types of foods in my body along with it. And this made sense to me because I had a skin infection for many years that for some strange reason would not respond to any of the remedies that it was supposed to respond to. It just got worse and worse no matter what we did to it. And, you know, I had just seen what happened to my mother, and I knew after I got this diagnosis that if I didn't do something different, I would soon be following her. Well, we signed up for our friend's 10-day detox program, which was fantastic, which was great. And then after that, she gave me a customized program that I spent the next 9 months self-administering, pretty much as a full-time job, to myself. And at the end of the 9 months, I got blood work done, and on my blood work, every single autoimmune marker showed up negative. I got blood work done again just recently, and it showed up even better. And friends, I stand here before you this evening praising the Lord in complete remission to my autoimmune disease. Can you say praise Jesus? Amen. I praise God for that. And the skin issue I was dealing with is clearing up as well. And now that I'm understanding all this, a lot of things that I had been dealing with really are starting to make sense and click why I had been dealing with those. And if you're interested, our doctor friend, the name of her ministry is yearsrestored.com, yearsrestored.com, if you're interested to find out more about this program. Well, what is an autoimmune disease? If I could summarize it for you in a nutshell, it's essentially the body attacking itself, the body attacking its own tissues. If it's attacking the nerves, you have multiple sclerosis. If it attacks the blood, you have leukemia. If it attacks the intestines, you have Crohn's disease. If it attacks the liver, you have eventually liver cirrhosis. And there are a host of autoimmune diseases, friends. There's lupus. Diabetes type 1 is actually an autoimmune disease. There's Hashimoto's, PCOS, celiacs, and the list just goes on. Chances are, I bet every single person in here either has an autoimmune disease or knows someone that does. They are just so abundant. Well, what causes autoimmune diseases? If I could summarize it for you, it's essentially it's when a foreign substance comes and enters the body. I'll get back to what these foreign substances are. The body attacks it. You know, your body has an excellent, God has designed in you a very excellent defense system. When something comes into the body that it does not recognize, it attacks it. And if this foreign substance is coming into the body on a regular basis, the body attacks it on a regular basis. And the first place of encounter is the small intestine. And this chronic attack creates inflammation in your small intestine, which eventually leads to something called leaky gut syndrome. I don't know if any of you have heard of that, leaky gut. You're going to be hearing more about it. And the lining in your small intestine literally becomes permeable, like the screen door in your home. And instead of the cells being nice and plump and all fit together, they literally get permeable and stretch apart. And all of those toxins that were coming into the small intestine start going through the walls and go into your bloodstream and literally go to every part of your body. And it lodges in your tissues everywhere. And when your body finds it, it attacks it along with whatever tissue or organ it's been lodged in. All right, well, what are those foreign substances that create this autoimmune condition? Well, in a nutshell, they're toxins. Now, we know toxins is a big word that could come from many, many aspects of our society. And if you haven't noticed, we live in a toxic society. And so, but I'd have to say the largest source of those toxins that has been what I have experienced, what I've seen, what I've dealt with, is genetically modified foods, GMO foods. Now, if you don't know what that is, let me just address that. What's a GMO food? GMO foods are foods that have been mutated or engineered on a cellular level. And so it's not really part of God's original creation. It's been changed at that base level. And since it has been changed at that base level, it's the body looks at it as a foreign invader. The body says, hey, that's not part of the creation. I don't know what that is. That's an invader. So it attacks it. And by far the worst GMO food of them all has to be gluten or bread. Now let me back up. Now that I've said that, let me tell you this. Bread technically is not a GMO food, technically, but it acts just like it because it has been hybridized. So in the United States, you rewind centuries ago, we had some about 100 different types of grains in the United States. And now we've been blended down to somewhere about 3. You see, some breads would rise better, some breads had better consistency or texture, and so they kept hybridizing them because they wanted to make the perfect bread, a super bread, if you will, that acted exactly how they wanted it to. And so that sounds really good, right? A super bread that rises perfect, has a perfect texture. Well, the super bread has your body super confused because it's not anything like the original creation that God created. It barely resembles that. And so when it comes to the body says, what's that? I don't recognize that. That's not part of the original creation. And, you know, it's interesting to note that no animal tests, no safety tests were done when these new strains of wheat were created. It was also found in a study that in one new wheat hybrid, that 5% of its proteins were not found in either of its parents. So this wheat hybrid that had been hybridized had 5% proteins that were not found in either of the two parent grains. Completely new. Now, friends, when you think about that, and you think about the fact that we have had tens of thousands of wheat hybridizations that have occurred, you're going to end up with some very different bread. I've been told that the bread today has 4 times more gluten than the original, and it will raise your blood glucose higher than table sugar. And many times in the production, they're covered with pesticides that have been derived from GMO products. So when your body, when this gets ingested into your body, this toxic modified bread, you have an autoimmune response. Now, there are other GMO crops that I'm not going to get into, but I want to focus on the bread. Now, what are the consequences of this? What are the ramifications of this happening on a large scale in our society? You know, since autoimmune diseases can affect literally just about every part of your body, there are dozens and dozens of different kinds of symptoms that could come as a result of it. And I'm going to deal with 3 main features that I've seen to be most typical of the general issues someone will deal with when they're having an autoimmune disease. Now remember, this starts because we're getting toxic bread entering the body on a regular basis. The small intestine gets damaged. Therefore, you can't assimilate nutrients, so the body is simply not getting nourished. It's not getting fed. And this causes 3 main issues. Number 1, it makes the body weak and vulnerable to disease. That explained my skin issue and why I couldn't get rid of it no matter what I did. 2, the body has a very difficult time healing. And 3, the body does not have energy to be active. Lethargy is very common with people who are dealing with autoimmune diseases. And all of this because the body is having an autoimmune response, it's attacking itself. And these are running rampant in the Western world. And as I consider this, especially having such an intimate reaction with it myself, having such a close experience with it myself, I realized something. I believe the Holy Spirit led my mind to realize something, that this epidemic that's happening in the physical bodies of people in the physical world amazingly mirrors something that's happening to the spiritual body of the church in the spiritual world. Fascinating. And just as my mother passed away from an autoimmune disease, there's another beautiful woman who's being killed by a spiritual autoimmune condition. Thank you very much. We know a woman symbolizes what in Bible prophecy? That's right. A woman is a symbol of the church. There is another symbol of the church in the Bible. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to get to our Bible study portion now. Please turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. I hope you brought your Bibles. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, and we'll look at verse 13. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, and verse 13. And it says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one what, friends? One body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Skip down to verse 27. It says, "Now ye are the what? Body of Christ, and members in particular." So we know a woman is a type of the church in Bible symbolic language, but what else is the type of the church? A body. The church is illustrated as a body. Now remember, people develop an autoimmune disease when they ingest toxic modified bread into their bodies. Is bread used as a symbol in the Bible? Matthew 4:4. Let's turn there. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. This is a good one to memorize, in fact. It's pretty easy to memorize. Maybe some of you have that. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. I'll be talking more about this passage in our third session. Jesus speaking here, Matthew 4:4. "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by what, friends? Bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, "Father, give us this day our daily bread." And Jesus is called the bread of life. So we see bread is used as a symbol in the body for the word of God. For the word of God. Now, friends, this is my thesis point right here. Could it be that in these last days, Satan is introducing toxic, genetically modified spiritual bread into the body of Jesus, the church, the woman, and therefore she is having an autoimmune response and attacking herself? Could it be? That would be amazing. That would perfectly mirror what we see happening in the physical world. Well, if this is true, we would expect to see three things. Remember those three things I mentioned that are pretty typical of someone having an autoimmune response. The spiritual consequences would be that the body would be weak and vulnerable to disease. Second, it would have a difficult time healing. And third, it would be lethargic and would not have energy to be active. Very interesting. Friends, is this in fact the case? Are we seeing these things? Let's go back to that first point, weak and vulnerable disease. Do we see the body of Christ weak and vulnerable to disease? Please turn in your Bible. You're in the book of Matthew. Let's go to chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, that famous passage where Jesus is giving his signs of the end. Matthew chapter 24, and let's look at verse 4. So the disciples come to Jesus and they say, "Lord, when shall these things be?" Referring to the destruction of Jerusalem. "And what shall be the sign of thy coming?" Notice the first thing Jesus says right off the bat. Verse 4, Matthew 24, verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man do what? Deceive you." You know, Christ mentioned a lot of important signs, but what was the first thing he mentioned?
Deception.
Friends, that ought to tell us something. Deception is going to be a serious, serious issue in the last days. A big one. Do we see, friends, spiritual diseases of deception and error in the body of Christ in the last days? Do we see rock-style musics integrated into worship? Do we see emergent church spiritual formation? Do we have groups of people who believe we should be observing the feast days? Do we have a group of people that believe in 25-20 prophecy? Do we have people who have been affected by Desmond Ford's theology, saying there's no heavenly sanctuary? The spirit of prophecy is good for homily, but not good for hermeneutical interpretation. Do we have these things? Friends, diseases are running rampant. And we were told in the gift of prophecy that in the last days, every wind of doctrine would be blowing. Every single one. And friends, I'm sure you could think of many other current issues that we're dealing with that I didn't even mention. So yes, the body is plagued with diseases. And friends, the fact is there are 100 off-ramps on the highway to heaven. And if we are not Be careful. If we're not humble, if we're not studying the word, you're going to take one of them. But friends, if you love Jesus, if you're humble, if you're a diligent student, Christ is going to get you to the kingdom of heaven. Amen? That's a promise. He promises to get you there. But if we're careless, you're going to get off on one of those off-ramps. It's just a matter of which one. Now, what about that second part? That the body would have difficulty healing. The kind of work that my wife and I have done for the last 5 years, and more intensely, we've been blessed to travel. And I counted that we've been in Adventist churches in 20 out of the 50 states. And we've gotten to get a pretty good pulse on what's happening in our church nationwide. And it's unfortunate to see that we find traumatized church members all over the place. People who are very deeply wounded. People who have been burned by liberals. People who have been burned by conservatives. People who are holding grudges. People who are just tormented. You know, my parents were actually freelance counselors in the church for about 20 years. And so I grew up seeing all kinds of people in my living room receiving counsel from my parents. And friends, we have a lot of damaged people in the church. Now, when we come to Jesus, we're going to have issues, amen? We will. That's because the world we live in is a damaging world. But when we come to Christ, He's the fountain of healing. The Bible says there's healing in His wings. And you know, the church should be a fountain of healing, but unfortunately, in many of our churches, it's not. Sometimes it's a fountain of damage, not a fountain of healing. In the church, everyone should be a fountain of healing. Lastly, does the body not have energy to be active? Do we see this happening? Well, unfortunately, another thing that I've seen largely as we've traveled is that there are very few church members who are active missionaries for Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about going to the Philippines or going to Africa or wherever. No, being a home missionary. Very few. Almost no one is giving personal Bible studies to anyone. Almost no one has led someone to Jesus. Witnessing is not a part of the regular life of most of our church members. And we have a major evangelism problem in the church. And it's that we're not doing it, largely. Now, you might be thinking, well, wait a minute, we do prophecy seminars, and those are great, and hey, I preach at them, so I love prophecy seminars, but it has to be much more than that. The active life in the weekly lives of the church members. And you know what I'm also noticing? We're seeing less and less results, generally speaking, from our public efforts. We're seeing they're less and less fruitful, generally speaking. At the recent 2015 General Conference session, one fact became painfully clear. The North American church represents only a fraction of the world church population. Friends, we are a very small percentage of the church here in North America. Do you know why? They're growing leaps and bounds, and we are treading water. That's why, friends. It did not used to be the case. And the baptisms that occur in the United States only represent 3% of the total baptisms that happen in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. 3%. Friends, that means 97% of the church growth is out there in third world countries, in other countries, not in Western countries. We are we're an increasingly growing small percentage of the church. Why? Could it be because the devil has introduced into the body modified bread in place of the true bread? Therefore, most of us are not receiving nourishment. Therefore, we don't have the power of God. I want to show you something very interesting. You're in Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 28. Notice something from the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28. You know this well, and I was reading this. And you know, sometimes you're tempted when you're reading those parts of the Bible that you've read over and over. I know this. Am I going to get anything new this time? I read the Great Commission over again. And I saw something new that I thought, wow, Lord, that's amazing. Matthew chapter 28, let's read verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Beautiful promise. Amen. I want you to notice something interesting. What is the third word in the Great Commission? This is in the King James. If you have New King James, it would be the second word. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. Now, therefore, that's an interesting word. What does therefore mean? You know, therefore is a word we use when we are saying someone should do something in response to a previously stated point, right? Like if you walked in a room and person A is talking to person B, and person A says to person B, therefore get in your car and drive to Los Angeles. You'd be saying, well, what was the previously stated point that I missed that this guy should get in his car and drive to Los Angeles? Therefore, the Great Commission says, go ye, therefore. Well, the question is, what was the previously stated point that is telling us why we should go? It's in verse 18. Notice verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all what, friends? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power, friends. What a beautiful point. The Great Commission is a response to Jesus having all power. But you might say, wait a minute. Aren't there people in the church who know God is all powerful, yet they're not sharing their faith? So what gives? Friends, this tells us something. Something interesting. That the statement about Jesus having all power must imply more than just having a knowledge that God is omnipotent. Because many have that knowledge, and yet they don't go. So what is verse 18 talking about then? If it's not talking about a mere head knowledge, it must be referring to an experience. An experience. Friends, the Great Commission is a response to experiencing the power of the gospel in your life. Do we have evidence of that in scriptures? People who experienced the power of God and they went. What about the day of Pentecost? Was that power? Boy, was that power. Did they go? Yes. Yes. Amen. What about the Apostle Paul? Did he experience the power of God in his conversion experience? Yes. Did he go? Yes, he did. Jesus himself. Did Jesus experience the power of his Father? Yes, he did. Did Jesus go? Absolutely. Well, friends, now this brings us to a point where it implies something kind of scary. Something that I've noticed. On a large scale, there has been a great omission of the great commission in the church. Why? Could it be because very few in the church are experiencing the power of God in their lives? They're not experiencing it, and so they're not going, because the Bible clearly illustrates if you experience it, what do? You go, period. You go. Friends, if we were, we would be turning the world upside down just like the apostles were, period. We would. God didn't favor them any more than he would favor us. The same result would take place. And due to the modified bread, there is a lack of nourishment. And because of the lack of nourishment, there's a lack of power. And because of a lack of power, there's a lack of activity, of going. Do we also see the church attacking itself, having an autoimmune response? Friends, do we see divisions? Let's be honest. We do. Infighting, bickering. What about church members talking about each other without practicing Matthew 18 first with the intention to restore the relationship? That happens all over the place. That's happening so much. So many congregations are not fighting the battle against the devil because we're too busy fighting battles with ourselves. We're attacking ourselves. We're having autoimmune response. The body is attacking itself. Too busy fighting with each other. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in a fight. I hope not. But if you ever have, you know what's one of the worst things you could do when you're in the middle of a fight with someone? To start fighting with yourself. That is the worst thing you could possibly do when you're fighting with somebody else. To start beating up yourself. Friends, we just simply cannot afford in these last days to be fighting with ourselves and be attempting to fight the battle against the devil at the same time. So what's the solution? You know, friends, God is so amazing. It just so happens that the solution, the protocol to heal someone's physical body of an autoimmune condition is the same protocol to heal the spiritual body of the church from its autoimmune condition. Incredible. It exactly mirrors, one mirrors the other. The issues are really twofold when you're having an autoimmune condition. First, toxicity. Second, deficiency. The first is what? Toxicity. The second is deficiency. That's right. Toxicity, because the body is filled with these toxins from year after year of ingesting these modified foods. And the toxins need to be cleaned out. Deficiency, because the body has been starving for years due to not being fed. So what's the protocol? First, we need to cleanse. We need to detox the body from its toxins. We need to open up those avenues of elimination that God has built into your incredible system, and we need to get those toxins out of the body in as best and safe a way as possible. And second, we need to nutrify the body. So we need to stop eating those GMO foods, and we need to start pumping the body full of high nutrition foods. This is often accomplished in the physical world by juicing. Now, what's the spiritual protocol? Detox the body. Friends, we need to cleanse the body from those errors in lives. And you know how you start doing it? By cleansing your own self from those errors in lives. Not that you can cleanse yourself, but you ask Jesus, Lord, help me. I want the truth. Friends, do you want the truth? I want the truth, friends. I don't want lies for dinner. I don't want lies for spiritual breakfast. I want the truth. And if you humbly, sincerely ask Jesus, He will feed you the truth. And then we need to nutrify the body. So we need to cleanse ourselves from the air, and we need to nutrify the body, and we need to start pumping the body full of the high nutrition word of God. Amen? Well, what does that look like? Spiritually detoxing. How do we tangibly do that? Please turn in your Bible. Let's go to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 7 and verse 14. A very popular verse. 1 Chronicles, chapter 7 and verse 14, and it's popular for a good reason. It's a beautiful Bible verse. 1 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. And it must be 2 Chronicles 7, 14. You're probably wondering how that verse fit into it. Here we go. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7 and verse 14. Says, if my people who are called by my name shall do what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will, what will God do? Heal. I will heal their land, the Bible says. Hosea 10:12 says, sow unto yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness upon you. Friends, searching of heart, confession, repentance, these were all things that had to happen prior to the day of Pentecost. These were things that had to happen prior to God pouring out his spirit on that day, and it's no different in the last days. These things must be happening in God's church before he's going to pour out his latter rain. Humbling of our hearts, confessing our sins, asking God, Lord, is there anything? Lord, have I believed those lies? Am I acting? Am I living my life based on any of those lies? Are you humble? No, don't anyone raise your hand because that would defeat the purpose. But just think about it. Are you humble? Do you respond to reproof well? Are you open to change? Are you? Are you just, Lord, I'm here, I'm fine, I don't really, no, I'm here, Lord. This is the way I want to live. Or when you hear something that cuts across your natural inclinations, do you harden up and do you resist? How do you deal with truth? Do you love God so much that you're willing to conform to his standards, or are you busy trying to get him to conform to yours? Friends, questions to think about. We need to cleanse the body. Confession, repentance. Lord, cleanse me. High nutrition. We need to stop eating those modified errors of the devil. Amen. We need to start ingesting the pure bread of life. Do you have a devotional life? The pastor that I'm currently working with at his pastoral meeting, there was a popular speaker that was there that was conducting the pastoral meeting. And this well-known speaker told them, in a recent poll we just took of the church in North America, 80% of our church members do not have a devotional life. 80. Friends, it's not even modified bread. It's no bread at all with some cases. No bread at all. And if you do have a devotional life, praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. But I'd like to also ask you, what's the quality of it? Do you understand what you're reading half of the time? Are you studying the Bible or are you just reading the Bible? You know, we're commanded to study the Bible. Clear commandments in the scriptures. To study, not just to read, to study. Do you diligently compare scripture with scripture, praying for enlightenment till you grasp the meaning of the verse you're reading? That's what God intended for us. Or are you just content to have 1,000 unanswered questions that you never take time to look into, but say, well, I put in my time. I put in my devotional 30 minutes. Are you fervent in prayer? What's your prayer life like? You know what Jesus' prayer life was like? I was shocked. It says, and we won't go there for the sake of time, but in Hebrews chapter 5, it says, with strong cries. That's how Jesus prayed. And I thought, that's how my prayer life should be. When was the last time it really broke you that your sins put Jesus on the cross? When was the last time that broke you in prayer and that really bothered you? That Jesus had to die on the cross because I sinned, because I still sin. Are we fervent in prayer? Are we pleading with God for victory to overcome those common sins before we leave the house for the day? Are we doing that? Friends, questions to think about. You know, just like earthly parents desire to feed their kids, our Heavenly Father desires to feed us. He wants to feed you high nutrition food. And He promises that if we will humble our hearts and open our mouths wide by pleading for God to feed us, He will fill us with high nutrition food, and the church will be unstoppable, friends. Satan will not be able to stop it when that church has the power of God's nutrition in it. And instead of being susceptible to disease, it will be impregnable to disease. Instead of always being wounded, it will be healing continually. Instead of being lethargic, it will be spiritually active. It'll be an active body. And instead of attacking ourselves, we will be unified. We will be one man going out to battle the devil. One unit. Perhaps today you recognize, you know, my devotions really aren't what they should be. Maybe they're not even existent right now. Maybe you used to and something has happened. Or when you do have them, maybe you really just don't feel like you're connecting with God. Or maybe you don't understand what you're reading most of the time. Perhaps you realize, you know, my prayers, they're not really fervent. They're just kind of like the prayers that say, God, thank you for the food. Help me not to get sick and get in an accident today and those things. And it's not really moving you that our sins put Jesus on the cross. Or perhaps today you realize, you know, I really don't witness to people. It's really not a part of my normal life. Maybe it happens a few times a year, and praise God for that, but it's not a part of it's not who I am. I'm not a missionary. I'm not a living missionary for Jesus. And you're recognizing, you know, these are symptoms of a spiritual autoimmune condition, and you'd like to heal. Friends, Jesus is the fountain of healing. And if we allow Him to cleanse us, to spiritually detox those lies, if we stop listening to those GMO lies of the devil and start spending time pleading for God to give us that high nutrition word of God, we will be cleansed and you will be in full remission to your spiritual autoimmune disease. Is spiritual cleansing your desire? Well, friends, if you feel that the Lord is convicting you on any of these points, I'd like to give you an opportunity to respond to that as we close with a word of prayer. Let's please bow our heads. Father in heaven, Lord, we've seen something quite amazing. We know that you put object lessons all throughout life, and we've seen that just like this world is going through an epidemic of physical autoimmune diseases, we see that your church is also going through an epidemic of a spiritual autoimmune disease. Lord, she's not getting nutrition. She's not healing. She's wounded. She's not active. She's very impressionable to diseases. And Lord, it all starts with us, the one person, the individual. And if there be any person in here today that's convicted, you know, I am having symptoms of a spiritual autoimmune disease. I'm not witnessing. My prayers, I don't pray very often, or I don't pray very fervently. My Bible studies aren't happening, or I don't even know what the Bible's saying most of the time. Lord, if there's any of these symptoms, you are here right now to cleanse us. You're here right now to turn us around. And if there be any person in here, even just one, and you're recognizing this, and on any one of these points, you would like to ask the Lord to touch you with His touch of spiritual cleansing, Just raise your hand where you are right now. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Just raise your hand. The Lord is speaking to you. Lord, my devotional life is not what it should be. My prayer life is not what it should be. I'm really not sharing my faith. I'm not experiencing the power of the gospel like I should be. I have wounds that need taken care of. Just raise your hand, friends, if you want God's spiritual touch of healing to come upon you. The Lord is willing to do it. He's willing to do it. Father in heaven, you see the hands and you see the hearts. And I pray that you would please cleanse and touch each individual that has responded to this appeal. And I ask and pray that your church would be that mighty, victorious, glorious church that will be unstoppable. And that we would receive that nutrition that you want to give us so bad from heaven. We thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for being real and for being real in our lives. And in Jesus' name, let all God's children say, Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.